Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 16th, 2007 Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. Before we begin our printed items on the agenda, we have requests from visitors and speakers from the floor, and I'd like to start by recognizing Linda Key.
Thank you very much.
Please come up. Please come up to the podium so the folks at home can hear you.
I'm here on behalf of the Orange County Commission.
There's a microphone.
That would be helpful. I'm here on behalf of the Orange County Commission for Women, and I want to just say a few words about our Women's Agenda meeting, which happened October the 12th of 2006. Every 2 years, we have an agenda meeting where groups that have interest in women's issues, along with the North Carolina, the Department of Human Rights and also the North Carolina Women United, get together, and we invite all women in the county to come to our agenda and talk about issues that are of interest to them. We had a very successful meeting this last October. We had 85 women who showed up, and we had some very wonderful speakers who I briefly just want to mention to you. We had Representative Verla Insko, who addressed access to health care, Ms. Katusha Alevi, who addressed child care, Ms. Molly Beecham, who addressed civic participation and equality, Ms. Erin Bird, who addressed economic self-sufficiency, Dr. Barbara Chapman, who addressed education, and Ms. Kimmy Boyd, who addressed violence against women. At the end of the speaker's time, we broke into small groups, and each woman has a vote in the group that she's, the smaller group she's in. And at the end of that time, we compiled our votes and determined which issues were of most importance. In this county, the first issue that women were most concerned about was economic self-sufficiency. The second issue, which was a real surprise to me, was access to health care, since we are very close to two major universities with health care facilities, and yet women in this county are very worried about having access to that health care. The third item that they chose was education. The fourth was child care. The fifth was violence against women. And the sixth issue was civic participation. And, of course, all these items are interrelated. If you don't have an education, you can't get a good job, you don't have child care available to you as easily because it's too expensive, it all makes a whole. So what we will be doing next is in March, probably, we will have an advocacy day in the state legislature. The state legislature requests that women groups all come at one time and present our agendas. So we will be going to lobby our state legislature. And I just wanted to say a few words to make you aware of what's going on. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Anybody? Thank you for your time. We certainly appreciate your support.
Thank you very much.
Do you have a printed copy of the women's agenda?
I just have the aftermath. I don't have a copy, but I could ask James Spivey to send you one. He is our liaison to the county commissioners. Could I get your name? Do you have an email address? Or
You can send it to the town clerk, and she'll forward it to me.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll do that. I'll have
Alrighty.
James send you one.
Thank you so much, and thanks for your work on that.
That it'll just be support.
Thanks very much, Ms. Keene. We have one other speaker from the floor, Chad Johnston.
Thanks so much. My name is Chad Johnston. Some of you know me. I'm executive director of People's Channel. I approached the alderman at the end of your budget when you were just submitting your final budget regarding getting the People's Channel into Carrboro. I'll just I'm going to try and do this very quickly, but the issues are a little complicated. My most commonly asked question is, why is GPC not on the Carrboro cable system? We'd like to get it there. About half our members are from Carrboro. But we can't enter into another agreement with another municipality without receiving a fee that is commensurate to that of which Chapel Hill citizens pay, which is about 76 a month, 76 cents a month on their cable bill. I pulled together figures based on land area, population, medium family income, and subscribers, and came out with a figure of about 21,000. Our initial thought was that this would have to come from somewhere, like the general budget or taxes or something. However, we have this new state legislation regarding video franchising, and there are sort of two things within that that I think can help us get the People's Channel in Carrboro without actually costing Carrboro citizens any money. The one point is that under the new state legislation, each qualifying PEG channel, which currently the People's Channel is, can receive $25,000 annually from this telecommunications tax. So if we could get on the cable system, we could be a qualifying channel for Carrboro. All it would require is that Carrboro certify us, say that this PEG channel exists in our community and can request funds. The other thing is that currently the Carrboro franchise is still a local franchise, which means you all have actual real authority. It would be probably smart of us to try and get us in now before something were to happen where you might lose your franchise and it moves to the state level. You've probably been seeing things, or may have been seeing things, from Action Audits. Bob Seppi, who's your cable advisor, about Time Warner applying for, you know, franchises for the whole state and other things like that. So it would make sense for us to try and get it in now while we actually have some authority. And I've looked over the franchise. Drew has as well. It seems like a feasible thing. So at this point, I would hope that the alderman may entertain sort of requesting staff to look into this issue and see if it's actually a possibility, and see if we can actually get TPC in here. I'd be happy to entertain some questions. I also have the sort of figures of how I came up with that.
Alex,
21,000.
Thanks for bringing it to us. Sounds like there's been a lot of interest over a fairly long period of time,
right,
in bringing the People's Channel online, and due to issues that we've had with previous franchise agreements, that's been the hang-up. I'm sure you're
yeah,
familiar with that. So I guess based on your presentation, though, the new legislation changes that picture somewhat in allowing that pool of funding to be available. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so I take it you all haven't, staff has not had a chance to evaluate how this might work under this particular proposal.
We've done some very preliminary look even before this issue came up. We knew there was a pot of money out there, and we've been looking at how Carrboro might
access that. And we certainly think from a staff standpoint it's reasonable to see if there's some way we can make this work. But Drew's been the point person in my office, but we've not done a lot of work on it at this point.
I'm interested in asking staff to go ahead and pursue this.
So I'll take that as a motion to refer this to our
second
town staff. And it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And add, like, the timeliness, no pun intended.
I think there is an issue of timeliness, but it's not like tomorrow, but in, you know, next couple of months we should.
Thank you for the work you do.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Take care.
All right.
Thank you.
Before we go to the consent agenda, let me say Alderman Dan Coleman is not well tonight and can't be with us. He has requested that we delay our discussion of pay-as-you-throw refuse collection, item D2, to another night. Would that be acceptable to the board?
Yeah.
I think staff was aware of the request to delay D2.
Right.
Do you have any objection to that?
That's fine with us.
Okay.
George was prepared, but he'll be prepared again.
Oh, yeah. Are there any members of the public who are here to speak on that issue? Okay. Well, we will bring that back in within the next couple of weeks at some point. With that, we are on the consent agenda. Are there any items to be removed from the consent agenda? I know there is one question on item C2, but it's just a clarifying question.
No.
Okay.
Move the consent agenda.
Second.
What was?
No, I just moved it so we could get to the discussion.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
What was the question?
I wanted to know, this is an issue that I always, every year, when there is these lease agreements on these towers, I always raise the question, and because I see it as a great revenue creation option, and the telecommunications companies, they're getting smaller and more compact, and they're making more millions of dollars every time. And for us, we always kind of get whatever they offer. I wonder if $30,000, how do you come up with that number? Is that how much higher of what we're getting today, and how much would be the highest the market will bear?
Well, these things have been negotiated over a number of years, so they vary somewhat. This is based primarily on a conversation we had, Drew, correct me if I'm wrong, with the town of Cary. This is where we got the idea to go with a flat rate. This is what the town of Cary, for example, charges. Rather than getting into a negotiation per square foot and so forth, just anybody who attaches to our tower would pay a flat $30,000 a year. I think right now we've got folks paying $1,000, $1,200 a month, something in that range. So
$1,400, so this is almost 2.11 times more than what we were receiving before.
211% increase. Yeah. It sounds good to me.
It always sounds good.
Let's do that again next year.
I just, all right, I will leave it up there.
Items. There was a item in our packet, a resolution requesting the North Carolina Utilities Commission deny Duke Energy's request to certify for the certificate of convenience to build the two new coal-fired plants. And
we can either. Do we need to have a discussion about that?
No, I was going to make a motion.
Ready to comment on or. Not comment, but rather move it.
I was going to ask sort of a clarifying question before we address that.
That's not a consent agenda.
Well, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's just add that as we'll have that as item 5 on our agenda, okay. D5.
Yep, that's good.
And we'll take that up at that time.
Okay, sounds good.
It's just a question. It doesn't have to be. I want to reread it before we go vote on it. So let's.
All right.
Let's. The consent agenda has been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously. And I see that the Chapel Hill Park and Recreation Director is here, and he is right on time. Agenda item D1.
Okay. This is a presentation of the concept plan for the Bowling Creek Greenway Phase 3. Town of Chapel Hill has requested an opportunity to present the concept plan for Bowling Creek Greenway Phase 3. To the Board of Aldermen for comment. You have in your packet a resolution referring the report to staff for review and comments and for your adoption tonight. And Bill Webster with Chapel Hill is here. Bill, welcome.
Thanks for having us here tonight. We were here not so long ago make a similar presentation for the Morgan Creek plan, and we're a little ways behind with Bowling Creek, but not far. And what we're doing right now is we're trying to develop a concept plan for a expansion of the current Bowling Creek Trail from Martin Luther King to Sewell School Road. And a very, very important component of this plan is how does it dovetail into your plans. and what can we do to make sure that that happens at some point in the future in the most efficient way possible, in some way that makes sense, in some way that's economically feasible. We've been working on this for quite some time. We had a slight delay while we while the state had to do a remapping of Bowling Creek. I'm sure you're aware the maps have been recently released. The concept plan study for Bowling Creek was similar to that of Morgan Creek, in that we knew that it would be an extremely difficult stretch from an engineering perspective, and we knew that what would be key would be whether or not bridges or structures in or around the floodway would be permittable by FEMA. So we had to have the recent maps in order to do that. Once they were released, we were able to get on with the project and come up with some recommendations. If you're familiar with that area, if you've driven down Umstead Drive and in the area around Estes Drive Extension, you know that the types of difficulties we're facing. And just even the cover slide here, you can see some of the issues that that we're dealing with. We've come up with some goals that we wanted to use to base the concept plan on, and I think these are extremely important in the general context of the project. The first is that it'd be a 10-foot wide multi-use greenway trail, and I don't have a slide showing the whole system, and I wish I did. But the idea of this is that it's going to be a crucial link in a greenway system that will eventually extend from Pinehurst Drive in southeast Chapel Hill all the way through the central part of town, all the way through Carolina North, all the way out to the town operations center in the extreme northwest portion of town, and eventually end Millhouse Road, where hopefully the county will then pick the trail up at that point and take it out into the county, and also have an opportunity sort of midway on that trail for Carborough to extend it a little further south into and west along Bowling Creek as far as your plans will take you, make an incredible integrated trail system, at least the portion of it through Chapel Hill. Our master plan calls it for being a pay trail, so it would become a very important recreational amenity as well as a bicycle and pedestrian transportation facility. But the whole plan falls apart if the center part of it is not built. And unfortunately, the center part of it is probably the most difficult section of Greenway Trail we will ever undertake in the town of Chapel Hill because of the topography, the creek, the soil. I mean, just you name it, there's a problem. But it works, and we're going to try to stick to the 10-foot trail, which is the model for Bowling Creek. Safety is the second issue on these goals, and it's where we want to avoid at-grade crossings of roads wherever possible. And what this does, and some of these goals, when you get down to practical levels, they're contradictory to each other. So at some point, the council and anybody has decision-making powers over this is going to have to balance those things, because in some places, safety may be achieved, but privacy issues may suffer, or some other issue may suffer. But at this point, at least, we've listed safety is really our second factor. Try to eliminate road crossings. Slopes at 5%, and that's for ADA and handicap accessibility. Obviously, trying to use utility easements in town-owned land as much as possible so we don't have to purchase additional easements or property. We want to avoid disturbance to the creek wherever possible. And I think where this conflicts with number two, it's usually those things. If we're going to avoid at road crossings, we tend to have to go down by the creek, and we have to get close to the creek if we're going to avoid going across roads. We want to minimize impact on neighbors. Fortunately, this trail allows us to do that not a total extent, but a fair extent. And the last one, considering all the difficulties we have, make the trail cost effective. That's a relative thing, because no matter what we do, it's going to be a very expensive proposition. This shows you the overall plan so far. The different colors are various options. But the is there a pointer here? Is this
the same thing?
The yellow button? Wrong yellow button?
Anybody?
Oh, there we go. So this is the star that Martin Luther King We want to go underneath Martin Luther King. It's actually, we think it's going to be fairly reasonable to do that. There's a very large culvert. We'll probably end up on the south bank. We'll hopefully go underneath Pritchard Avenue Extension, come into Umstead Park. Now, this is where the first of two, this plan has two places where we connect into Carrboro. One would be to take the existing Tanyard Branch Trail and improve it to a paved trail and come out at Caldwell. And this actually ends here, but it needs to come down to here. And there are places where we can link through town properties into Carrboro. And one of our goals is to see if we can get to Baldwin Park, if that's something that you would like to do. The plan, this section of the plan is a little vague right now. So we didn't pay our consultant to do a very detailed plan of that area. We know that we definitely want to connect out to Caldwell, and we definitely want to connect into Carrboro if that's something that you want to do. So if that's some advice that you give us after your review of this, let us know, and we can certainly launch into a more detailed study of this area. The trail would then basically follow Bowen Creek. This obviously is a major problem. We'll have a slide later, someone standing at the base of that slope. And we think we need to go under the road, two-bridge system. And then this has turned out to be very interesting. So far, the vast majority of comments we received have been about this section here. We wanted our study area to end at Sewell School Road because we knew that you all, at least from our early discussions, were thinking of a trail that would system that would follow Bowen Creek out, but we needed to deviate from this at this point and start following the rail line, because that's what's going to take us up to Carolina North and up to the town operations center as one big long continuous trail. This area is in the town jurisdiction on this side of the tracks, but there's very little land, and this area is much more feasible, but it's in Carrboro's jurisdiction. So we're just... Here's a detail of the difficulties we're facing near Martin Luther King, all the various options, trying to figure a way of getting under Umstead, which is probably the most hazardous crossing other than Martin Luther King. And there's just some views of how it could happen. Various options for trying to get underneath Umstead Road, which would be a very difficult proposition, but doable in a number of different ways. I know this is more of a Chapel Hill problem than a Carrboro issue, but almost all of the there's a trade-off. If you want to get under the road, there's a house that's in the way for most of these options. If you want to go over the road, that house is avoidable. That's something we're going to have to address. This difficult center section, our studies have pretty much shown that this option in the dotted line is just simply not possible unless we move the entire road 5 to 10 feet to the north, which I don't think they make enough money around here to do that. And this is some of the photos of the terrain in the area. If you drive down the road, you're familiar with those. So probably one of the biggest private ownership tracks that we have on this plan. And you can see the trail as it would go in where it would link into the Carrboro system. Partially some on these roads are a possibility. We purchased this large track recently, and it's very doable to get down to Baldwin Park that way. From the park, this is actually getting to the park, and this is an example of Boulder, Colorado, where you can get under examples of going under roads. And this is the area where this trail would head up this way. The main trail would then come up along Umstead. These bridges would be removed from Umstead Park. They're frequently damaged in flood events, and they're just simply too low. Now, this is as we start getting into Carrboro. The most comments we received so far in the plan, most concerns from the Ironwood neighborhood. because the trail would be, if it would stay in Chapel Hill's jurisdiction, according to this plan, it's an extremely narrow little piece of land here, and it would be literally in the backs of many houses in Ironwoods. A possibility would be to bring the trail under the trestle and into Carborough's jurisdiction and on up, and it widens up here. It would stay out of the no-bike zone in the Adams Tract. There's another thing we've also just want to mention. We've because of the numerous comments we've received on this, we started looking around as another possibility. It's a major deviation from what we were originally thinking, but it might be possible to bring the trail essentially parallel to Estes Drive until we get to the point where you can cross over to the university property and avoid a lot of the property issues. It wouldn't be an idyllic, beautiful path through the woods, but it would be another option. It may be something that we want to visit later as a possibility. This is the this is Estes Drive extension, and this is the issue we're facing there. It's about a 20-foot high embankment. Be very costly. And here are the details of the option on the town of Chapel Hill side of the tracks. This line is just conceptual. If it were to go on the Carborough side, it could go pretty much anywhere. But the idea is that it would be on the west side of the tracks and eventually get to this point here. This is up on the leading up to the north side neighborhood, the existing Tanyard Branch Trail, and a bit more of the detail showing how it might be possible to get to Baldwin and hook into your street system and have access directly into the Bowling Creek Trail. And that's pretty much the presentation we have. We just want to give you an overview and ask for any comments that you may have before we go to public hearing.
Yeah, can you go back to one of those maps showing the proposed or contemplated alternate route through Carborough?
Let's see. You're talking about the north side neighborhood?
No. Go up. Go up.
Under the trestle.
Oh, under the trestle.
Yeah,
oh,
under
okay.
That. Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
All right. Now, where that proposed alternate route, that would be, obviously, as you say, that would be in Carborough. It would be on a the property that currently is owned by P.H. Craig.
That's correct.
Is that right? The next P.H. Craig's sort of neighbor to the north, if I recall, is the University of North Carolina.
That's correct.
So I would have this thought or suggestion. I don't know whether we have as a town in any way formally adopted even any kind of conceptual alignment for where we imagine that the Bowling Creek Greenway will go in this area in Carborough. But I think for reasons that this map makes clear that it will almost have to be crossing what is currently P.H. Craig's property at some point.
That's right.
In other words, it will have to be on the east side of the creek.
That's correct. But
closer to, more in the direction of Chapel Hill than Carborough. A large segment of the trail on the east side of the creek will pass through the university's property. And, from my perspective, I think probably from the whole board's perspective, we're expecting that the University of North Carolina, as a part of the Carolina North development, will build whatever that trail will be across their property. We certainly don't have any power to acquire any easement from them for us to do it, and it really ought to be their obligation to connect their development at Carolina North with neighborhoods in Carrboro and indeed throughout Orange County in this way. To me, there would be a lot of logic in saying, let's bring that trail on down from Eubanks Road and Homestead Road down across the Carolina North property, the far western edge of the Carolina North property, on the east side of the creek. And at some point, we'll have to, we as a town need to come to some kind of understanding with P.H. Craig or with some future owner of what is now P.H. Craig's property about how we will get through that last stretch that is currently his property. But it seems to me that if the question is, and once we do that, here's the point, is once we do that, we'll have a trail that starts at Eubanks Road and comes all the way down through Twin Creeks Park, through various neighborhoods, across Homestead Road, and all the way down to Estes Drive and connecting with what y'all are with this Phase 3. But what the trail won't do and what you're trying to advocate for here is to connect up to Sewell School Road so that you can get from that trail to the actual Carolina North development and to the schools that are on Sewell School Road and various other locations like that. It seems to me it would be logical, and I don't know the topography, but it would seem to me to be logical to say that that connection up to Sewell School Road should happen on the university's property and that it should be incumbent on the University of North Carolina to provide that access and make that connection to Sewell School Road from the Carrboro Bowling Creek Greenway, if you see what I'm saying. And so here's my real question is, would that achieve essentially the same objective or not, to your way of thinking?
The you still have to go through PH's property to a certain point. I think the comment you made is right on. It depends on the topography, and we looked at it. We only looked at this corridor roughly. We didn't look at it beyond that. But we can certainly do that. We can look at the bigger picture and see if that might work. Well, the way we were thinking the university could build the trail system that would link their future campus to this point and also up to Homestead Road. So
I'm suggesting the same thing, but just a little bit further up Sewell School Road. I mean, really just a little bit, like less than a quarter of a mile further up Sewell School Road to make that connection, if the topography would and other factors would allow it. But I guess my point is, I've been I don't think the board has taken a formal position on this thought, but I have been assuming for some time that at some point as a town we'll need to pull together the resources to build this section of trail that will cross P.H. Craig's property low down, mm-hmm. relatively near the creek. But I had never really contemplated, what you're talking about is almost twice as much trail and probably over – being built in Carrboro, and I'd never really contemplated it going over such. I never contemplated having town taxpayers, let me put it that way, pay for having the trail go over such difficult topography, which I would anticipate would be more expensive. Now, on the other hand, if everybody's it's possible that Mr. Craig or some future owner of that property may come in with a development application for that property, and at that point, we could certainly seek to have the creation of these trails be a condition of approval of a development there. But I think there's a lot of people in Carrboro who'd rather not have any development on that Craig property if that can ever be arranged that way. So I think it's worth, I think it would be worth your exploring or our exploring or somebody spending some time looking at whether it makes more sense to have this connection come across the university's property. Because to me, ultimately, a big part of the reason for creating this is for alternative transportation connection. It's alternative transportation connection to Carolina North. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to that extent, I think the folks who are going to create the transportation demand at Carolina North ought to bear a significant portion of the responsibility for helping to create the infrastructure.
We can certainly look into that. That's a good idea.
Well, I guess, I don't know if you can answer this question or maybe staff can. Has anybody talked to Mr. Craig about any portion of any greenway going on his property?
I understand that the former mayor spoke with Mr. Craig at some point a number of years ago.
And I think my recollection is Mike's not here to confirm it, but I believe the board had directed Mike Brough to make some contact with Mr. Craig about a conservation easement, a couple of years ago, and I don't think that conversation went very far.
Okay. I mean, you know, I guess my point is this is that you have a living home property owner who we're talking about moving some public greenway on his property without a better discussion. And, you know, I think as a matter of, I don't know, courtesy, before we start talking about moving a greenway on his property, that we may want to, again, speak to Mr. Craig about that possibility in the future instead of waiting for a contentious
legal battle
with regards to what he may or may not do with the property.
Right.
And you know, again, I'm not opposed to greenways, but I think we also should be polite to the property owner.
Sure.
You know, and I guess the second thing is that I would make a statement is whatever happens at Carolina North, we are all taxpayers. We are all state taxpayers. So in some sense, not just us and Carrboro, but also, you know, people in Mebane, people in Manio, the people in Murphy. And we also need to be cognizant of that. So that'll be my stuff.
Good question. With the point that you have there, can you pinpoint any public easement?
Excuse me?
Easements?
Actually, none of the property that you see there right now currently have public easements. There may be a WASA I know has an easement along the creek, but the easement does not come with the right for people to walk or use the easement for anything other than sewer purposes. So there is no public access in this area. One of the I do want to just go back and just mention that we've sent a copy of the plan to every property owner, and with a cover letter that said we're looking at options and your property may be involved. Anytime that we develop a greenway trail, we cross so many properties. One of the first things we have to do, of course, is a concept plan, and we can't negotiate with literally sometimes dozens of property owners until we have the plan, because you know one option will involve these property owners, another option would involve these property owners, and until you have direction, it'd be a morass trying to deal with everybody that has property that might be involved. So that's what we're letting everyone know that their property may be involved, and then once once our council, and in this case Orange County as well. And at least for the lower sections outside Carrboro's jurisdiction, lets us know what they would like, what option they would like to select, then it narrows the field down tremendously, and we can talk with specific owners that would be affected by that particular option. And we have, no matter what we do, we have a number of easements that we have to acquire.
I like the idea. We need to talk to Mr. Craig. And not just for courtesy, but you never know. People get old, and we all want to leave a legacy, a positive one, in this world to be remembered for, for what we contribute. And it seems like the gentleman owns quite a lot of land, mm-hmm. Chapel Hill, yes. Carborough. And that is a very endemic part of forest. And talking with some friends, I mean, we had invested a lot of money in the Adams Track portion, and I think with the negotiations with the university, I mean, from the picture you can see the density of the forest land there. It is more suitable for conservation than for development. And that doesn't mean, I don't know what the prior negotiations were about, but, you know, people actually make money when they sometimes donate land for conservation. You know, it's a tax write-off benefit. People can get land dedicated, to remember their family and their legacy. And I think I would love to approach them in a positive way with, you know, friends that he should have friends here. And people change, you know. They all, you know, that doesn't mean that maybe we got him in a really bad day, bad year, when they approach him, and maybe this is a good year to approach him. And I think it's worth trying to acquire that land. I mean, we are also one of the legislative issues that we have been supporting is the Land for Tomorrow, land purchase, land acquisition. And I would like to see if we can push our delegation, if we get any of that money, for those folks to prioritize purchasing a piece of land like this. This is something worth preserving in perpetuity. So, yes, let's just keep that in mind when the appropriate moment comes to get out of the donation.
I would just caution that we may want to back up a little bit here before we start talking about individual property owners and what plans there are for them. We're later going to discuss the formation of a Greenways Commission that Randy has put together. And this planning discussion is obviously, I think, what we would charge that group with doing. And that I would think that part of that group's charge would be to figure out how you bring property owners into the discussion. I think that we've all learned the hard way that people don't like surprises. Mm-hmm. And there are some jurisdictions that are don't really care about that, but that's okay. I think we really do, and that we do a lot better when we include all of the parties in the discussions before we begin formulating plans or alignments, and can give those people actually at the end of the day hopefully have some ownership of the end product. So I would just offer that little caution and ask that we think about that, particularly in the context of the idea that we may go ahead and empower a group of citizens to begin working on this, and that's where that process can really begin.
Thanks, Bill. Jackie and I were really kind of thinking the same thing that Alex is saying about how fortuitous this is that this comes up tonight, as we were very interested in creating the Greenway Commission for the town of Carborough. I want to commend you on including the tenured branch. And if you could go back to that slide, I just think it's...
Really quick, before you change that slide, I hope people don't confuse us with Carburitos. You know, you got there, Carborough. It should be Carborough, right?
Look at that.
Yeah.
You got no blues. Your
eyesight is better than
Carborough.
But I just wanted to make sure the public gets a good look at that, because I think the tenured branch to Caldwell and the inclusion of Baldwin Park is exactly the direction that folks who've been talking Greenway would like to see it go, to be as inclusive and as connective of smaller parks throughout our area, both in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and on up to Hillsborough. So I want to be clear that the tenured branch leg of a greenway would be in addition and in tandem with anything that would go north and west. Is that correct?
Well, what we're trying, this the process we're talking about right now is a concept plan. It's very, very broad brush. There's no details at all, other than to say that we've studied some very specifically, the only thing we've studied are potential bridge crossing structures in the floodway to see what's permittable and what's not. And those are the key things that we have to work around. That's the only thing we've done other than to do some just basic engineering studies and say, okay, if this option were to happen, we'd have to move a road or, you know, something along those lines. So it's very broad brush. The next step will be detailed engineering, but we can't start that until we know which options that we're to pursue, because we could go bankrupt just studying things if it's not focused on a more narrow plan. The reality is on this is that the money that we have to build, I'm hoping that it'll get us from this point to this point. That's if inflation in the construction industry slows down and gets back to a more reasonable pace, probably the near-time reality we're talking about is right here for our construction funds, if we're lucky. And if we're not lucky, maybe Pritchard Avenue extension. We just, you know, the money is just not going to take us anywhere soon. But the plan, the concept plan, is for this whole thing. And the reason why we want to do this is it'll base our future decisions on land purchase, on grant applications, on dealing with DOT. If we have an adopted plan that all the municipalities and the county agree on, it'll strengthen our hand when it comes to issues such as Estes Drive extension, and we don't want to waste resources on an option that nobody feels we should pursue. If everybody decides that the east side of the tracks is just not a doable thing, we don't want to be wasting our resources purchasing land on that side of the tracks if that's not considered feasible. So the recommendations we're looking for any recommendations you may have, but specifically and more importantly right now are the big issues. Mm-hmm. Just forgetting exactly where that dotted line is, but would you like that trail to be on the west side of the tracks or the east side? You know, that's the most helpful thing right now.
Right. And Bill, right. Just realize that, I'll come right behind Mark on this, that the Greenway Summit, the overriding assumption that folks were making is that a greenway through Carrboro from Estes Extension up to Homestead Road would probably go along sewer easement, the Owassa easement. I mean, that was the going assumption. So it's largely, yeah. So, you know, it wasn't even thought about, to be going up through the property along the rail line.
And I guess I would say, regardless of how that works out, I mean, I think there need to be, I can't remember exactly which streets it is, but I think Trip Farm Road and at least one other parallel to Trip Farm, they basically stub out into the university's property. Mm-hmm. And from my point of view, there needs to be a bicycle and pedestrian connection somehow, or at least pedestrian connection somehow from the ends of those streets that leads up toward the Carolina North development. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be looking to the university personally. I'm looking to the university to see them include those type connections, assuming that I'm not out in space on the topography and engineering issues that might be involved. But I guess my point is, I think realistically that's a much more logical somewhere up there will be a much more logical way to get from the Bowling Creek Greenway alignment in either town over to Sewell School Road. Mm-hmm. and I don't know exactly how that'll work out, but that seems more likely to me than either the east side or the west side of the track. Let me just point out one last issue of clarification. So there are two creeks that come down to Bolin Creek there through the two downtowns, and one is Tanyard Branch, which you mentioned earlier, but Tanyard Branch is really properly follows Mitchell Lane through north side and down, and there actually is a Tanyard Branch. It's just a pedestrian-only, unpaved natural surface trail. It leads down from the vicinity of Mitchell Lane down into Bowling Creek, but the creek that you're referring to is actually called Lloyd Branch, and it comes up through, it drains basically partly through Baldwin Park there in Carborough, comes down that way.
This tributary here.
Is Lloyd Branch.
This is Tanyard here.
Right.
Right.
And Tanyard actually basically drains from the intersection of Millette and Franklin Street.
Yeah, it daylights right about here.
Right.
It's in a pipe system until it hits here.
Right. And so when you see flooding at the Millette Street intersection in downtown Chapel Hill, it's that pipe that's not big enough to handle what's coming down. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Just for clarification.
Either way, I like it.
Yeah, I do too. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Bill.
Thank you.
Let's see. We're on to, are we on to D3 now? A request to consider reissuing bond anticipation notes. Mr. Manager.
Before we get to that, Mayor Chilton, there was a resolution for you all to consider on this item to refer the report to staff.
We accept the report and refer our comments to staff.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. Thanks, Mr. Manager.
Okay. The next item is a request to consider reissuing bond anticipation notes upon expiration and to consider increasing the amount issued. George Size, our public works director, is making his way to the podium. The board is asked to consider reissuing bond anticipation notes that are currently due to expire March 14th of this year and to approve a staff recommendation to renew and increase the amount of the bonds issued so that work on the sidewalk bond projects may continue in a timely fashion. It's recommended that the bond anticipation notes to be reissued total $2,590,000. George?
Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
All those in favor? Do I hear a motion?
We either do it or stop doing the work. Right? So having said that, I'll move the item.
Second.
Thanks, George.
Excellent presentation, as always, George. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously.
George, I just want to say that I get a lot of comments, and I love to drive my bike and see people walking, you know, all the way along Hillsborough Street and Old Greensboro Road.
It's
fantastic. It looks like
people
you dreamed these folks had many years ago.
All right.
Thank you for that concise report, George.
Thank you.
With that, we're on to item D4, a discussion of legislative issues. We do have a couple of people who are signed up to speak, so unless the staff has a presentation.
We have no presentation. You have the items in your packet for consideration to consider whether or not the board wants to meet with the delegation at some point.
Okay. Well, we'll come to those issues in just a moment. But first, I would like to ask Wes Hare, come on up.
Thank you all for this opportunity, Mr. Mayor and members of the board. And you will know certainly that almost a year ago, this room was packed with an impeachment issue, the first one that we had. And we've moved along, but we're now at a point where we really need some more help and an extra initiative. And for the last few days, I've been to MLK banquets and Franklin Street event yesterday, and there's a variety of opportunities here and a lot of rhetoric, but we have to keep after this issue, and I'm hoping you will. I am speaking to you as a co-chair of the Orange County Peace Coalition and I guess a founding member of the grassroots impeachment movement. Your leadership on this has been substantial. I mean, you helped us get Chapel Hill on the board and now Orange County Commissioners on board. But now we need to move it to the North Carolina Legislature, and I know you will recall that your resolution, your second resolution, which Ms. Gist introduced, called for that. I hope you have. I hope you've already addressed this, but I'm pretty sure that this is going to be a hard issue for the North Carolina Legislature, and if you don't take some leadership in it, our members of the North Carolina Legislature, including, I'm sure, Mr. Hackney, are going to try to avoid dealing with this. So I hope you will. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Wes.
John Hoyer, is that right?
Huer.
Good evening. My name is John Huer, also a founder of the grassroots impeachment movement that was founded in this very room a year ago. Yesterday we had a marvelous series of events. Ms. Brown spoke very eloquently to us at the post office. We marched to the First Baptist Church. We heard many speakers talking about Dr. King's legacy. And almost every speaker talked about the need to stop this war. There's an emerging consensus, majoritarian consensus in this country now, that the only way to stop this war is to impeach this president and vice president. We hope that you will speak with our legislative representatives and convey the depth of your concern and the need to move expeditiously to introduce impeachment resolutions into the North Carolina General Assembly. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. John.
And finally, James Carnahan.
Good evening, and these are somewhat more mundane items. And I'll just, since I submitted a letter briefly I'll be fairly brief about this. And if you have any questions or there's any information that can be developed in support of these, let me know. Some years ago, the town of Carrboro actually requested authority for inclusionary zoning, that is to say zoning that would allow us to require 15% affordable housing in subdivisions, and that did not pass the legislature. It was undermined by a certain association that supports the building industry. However, I think this is a really important authority, an important issue to address and to continue to pursue this way, and I hope that you would speak to the legislature about working once again to get authority for that. The next area of interest is energy efficiency standards that would be achieved by changes to the state building code. Planning Board and Environmental Advisory Board met some local builders last week who said that there's some areas that with relatively small changes could produce great energy efficiencies, and those efficiencies would be realized by people in their power bills. And they are to have stricter standards for the inspection and installation of insulation, for the sealing of heating and air conditioning ducts, and for generally tightening up the envelope of a building. The third item is about the Climate Change Commission. I spoke with Mike Nelson in December. The commission is still working on their recommendations. I'm not sure that they've been drafted yet. I know that they're going to be tiered as to the low-hanging fruit, the ones that will be easy and not so controversial, and then the more difficult ones. So I think the stance at this point is to be prepared to support this really important effort, whatever does come out of that commission. The fourth one is regional public transportation. As you know, the Triangle Transit Authority withdrew their application for federal funding. The reason they withdrew, one of the reasons was that the feds were not happy with the small portion of local contribution. And so I think it's important to continue to look for ways to increase the regional revenues, perhaps not necessarily exactly the Charlotte model, but to find some way to increase our local contributions so we can go back and reapply for funding for a commuter rail system, particularly, but generally for transportation funding throughout the region of all kinds. The last item I'm not going to say much about, it's about whether or not parking should be free. This is a really large policy area, and I think the way I'd like to approach it is to see whether or not the Planning Board and perhaps the Transportation Advisory Board would be interested in delving into the issue and then bringing a more specific recommendation at a later date.
All right.
Thank you.
Alex.
Thank you, James.
Thanks, James. I would just note that on the first item that James brought up on during inclusionary zoning, which we've discussed over and over again, that James notes that it's important to couple that with an incentive, such as the density bonus that we currently offer, rather than simply attempting to extract yet another pound of flesh, so to speak. I think that's a very sensible approach. I would note that we still need to tread carefully on this item. I have no objection to raising it with our delegation and trying to get a sense of what the sense is over there. Obviously, since Joe is going to be, we hope, it appears, in a position to provide us with even greater assistance than anybody else has been, that may have some influence over it, but that we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we could prompt preemptive legislation. I've told the story 10 times already about how, with all best of intentions, Ellie and I ran this bill, and we almost got our butts handed to us in the form of a piece of preemptive legislation, which, thanks to Ellie's quick thinking, we were able to spike. So with that caution, I'll just add that.
Well, let me ask you a question, if you have worked on this issue. What about the other bodies, like the North Carolina League of Municipalities? Have they support this, or will this, support it?
In a very general sense.
There's something in their agenda about affordable housing, but it's not mixed income housing.
Yeah, they're the league has, as you know, in more represents many interests. Yeah, I mean there are a lot of jurisdictions who take a much more traditional view about such matters, and of course those jurisdictions are also constituents of the league. So the league tries to. The answer is, in a very general sense, but not specific to this issue, mm-hmm. as it's been, or mechanism.
It's been Triangle J, not the league.
Mm-hmm. COG has consistently been supportive of this mechanism.
They have something specifically in their agenda about mixed income housing. Joel.
Well, I would hope that we would encourage our legislative delegation on. I had a list, and I've added some more. One of them would be increased funding for the North Carolina Housing Trust Fund, increased medical benefits for uninsured children, and greater statewide funds for mass transit, not just in the urban areas, but there are people who work in the urban areas who don't live in the urban areas, but actually spend a considerable amount of time on the highway getting to those urban areas, because those are where the jobs are. And I would contend to you that maybe while we think about ourselves, we can also think about those areas who are east of us and also who are south of us. Instead of, for example, widening 15501, maybe there should be some discussion about mass transit between Pittsburgh and Chapel Hill, and Pittsburgh, and Raleigh, instead of relying on 64. Because if you provided more mass transit, people could still maintain their quality of life without, and we could do something about our local, well, we're always in the violation. I can't remember what they're called, but,
Ozone.
Right. You know, and it it makes a lot more sense.
Right, the EPA 8-hour standards.
Right.
Actually, we're back in compliance now.
But, you know, but for example,
for
I mean, there are, and it's a good thing, that there are van pools that come from as far as Fayetteville for people to come work in Raleigh. And so the extent that we could facilitate more of that plus more mass transit, then we give people an opportunity to live where they would like to live and work where they like to live. More of, I hasten to say, a European model, where you get on a train and you go to work, and when it's time for you to go home, you get on a train and you go home, like Britain. So, and if we don't start doing it now, we can envision our children being on I-40 much longer than we are.
Of course, the ocean will be closer if we don't do it now, so they won't have to drive as fast.
It's sure to drive, yeah.
Well, to the beach.
To the beach, yeah.
All right.
And the other thing, I'm
not done.
I think we should oppose any sort of tax scheme that doesn't allow cities and counties to tax undeveloped property when they divide it for the full tax assessment. More funding for mental health.
Yes.
And I say if you have more funding for mental health, you don't have to fund as many prisons. I'll just say it just like that. And then I support the, you know, amending the building codes for more energy efficient building standards. And that would be all that I would seek that we would discuss.
I have one to add. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just wondering,
we'll come back
to be a fit more, a little more efficient, are we going to agree on inclusion of at least the energy efficiency standards, the Climate Change Commission, the regional public transit that James offered, given that we want to be careful with inclusionary zoning.
My suggestion actually was, I didn't mean to interrupt, but my sense was that we could support all of these measures to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
James's and Joel's overlap. Joel had some
additional
social service issues. Obviously, when we have these discussions with our delegation, we get a sense of what's likely to go and what ain't, and then we obviously narrow down through those discussions what we really want to focus on.
Because I had a couple also, but I just thought we could bring at least to agreement on what James was proposing before.
Well, we need to. We would. I think on the free parking issue, we'd have to have more discussion later time, as he suggested.
Right,
but other than that,
that was great.
I didn't. I mean, I don't think there was any objection to the points he was making.
So if we could agree to include those, then
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're. We're not finalizing.
Alex, did you want to? Because I have a couple to add.
Sure. I just have one to add, which is a recommendation put forth by, and this may actually be a fairly simple matter, by the Economic Sustainability Commission to raise the amount of our hotel, motel, hospitality authority from 3% to 7%, which would be consistent with other jurisdictions. I don't know why we. I guess ours has just lagged over time, and we haven't felt the need to update it because we haven't had any hospitality stuff in the works. However, we do, and my understanding, based on what I've heard with that obvious disclaimer, is that people in the hospitality industry who are looking in this area do not object to that at all.
Right.
Would they see it as an incentive if we have it lowered?
Depends on what we spend the money on.
Yeah. We'll have that discussion later, but we can't do anything unless we seek and get the authority.
And get a hotel.
Yeah.
Randy and then.
Yeah, I had three. One, I feel remiss, but I'm not. I want to support continuance of Senator Kennard's living wage legislation that. I don't know where that stands. I want to continue to support that. I think we should continue to support that. I think it was about 3 weeks ago, three more states jumped on the bandwagon to ban smoking, and I would like to see North Carolina do the same. The last one I heard of was Louisiana, and I will not be bested by Louisiana, so I would like to see North Carolina, you know, take up that issue.
Ban smoking where?
Where?
In public facilities across the state.
Meaning public buildings
or restaurants? Right, exactly. Restaurants, public buildings across the state. Louisiana did it. So, you know, I don't see that North Carolina
can. So anybody can.
Anybody can.
The good tobacco of North Carolina.
And third, I do believe you have a copy of the proposal to seek legislative authority to increase campaign contribution disclosure. And lower the cap on contributions. Having run a campaign last year, I think that this is really important to pursue. I know that I had, the funding that I received, I was very much pleased to have folks contribute small amounts and greater numbers of people contributing small amounts, and I think that that's very important. I know Chapel Hill does the same. I think it's an important way to get more people involved in campaign financing and to limit campaigns being bought by high rollers. I think that it highlights the importance of more people being involved because it says that more people need to be involved for a campaign to be successful. So,
I hate to be the wet blanket on this issue, but I volunteer. You know, every time I've run a campaign, I've voluntarily done all that stuff, set limits,
right.
Engaged in full disclosure, all that stuff. In this particular instance, it strikes me that in our local campaigns that hasn't really been a problem. And you'll note that the state has reduced their campaign reporting requirement to $50 from $100. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even the state legislation opens it up a lot more. I don't have a strong objection to it. This is an instance where I'm not really sure that there's a problem that necessarily needs to be fixed because it's currently being dealt with through goodwill. But, you know, I don't have a strong
objection. I just think it's real consistent with Carborough values. And
yeah. And just because Chapel Hill does it doesn't.
But we should.
And I don't give a rat's ass.
Well, they've had some remarkably expensive campaigns, too,
that's
which
right.
is, I think, very different than
right.
in Carborough.
Yeah.
Jackie.
As much of a crisis as our environment is heading towards, and I believe we are on the downslope towards an environmental crisis. As a state, we have hit a mental health crisis. And there are tens of thousands of people whose lives are shattered because of our state's inability to successfully help people who are suffering from mental illness. This includes confronting the insurance industry and how the insurance industry handles issues of mental illness. It includes the disarray that the mental health reorganization that's happened in our state has caused for consumers and professionals alike. It's not just that the mental health disorganization is hitting individuals' lives and their families' lives, and it certainly is hitting tens of thousands of those. The impact on municipalities of the state's new mental health system can be seen on the streets of Carborough and Chapel Hill. The change in the homeless population that is being seen, the change in the population of people who are in need of having their basic needs met, is being directly impacted by the mental health crisis in this state. Our police departments are impacted by the mental health crisis in this state. So if I could only pick one thing to say to our delegation, and I know this isn't controversial, it's please work to straighten out the mental health system in a way that benefits consumers and not private practitioners. This is really, it is more serious than anything else we're dealing with. And that's probably all I'll say tonight.
Here, here. All right.
Let me to echo Mrs. Gist's petition on that, and also we have here Ms. Perry, who come here many times saying that you know, it's usually a business decision and not based on the human needs of the individual, that that the Medicaid should follow the individual wherever they go. You know, we live in a community where people move because of the great loss of jobs and you know, increasing economic competition, and it is a nightmare for a lot of hardworking folks not to be able to have that basic coverage. And as a footnote, today, actually yesterday, Misael Martinez Pérez left for Iraq. And I can tell you that family, it is in big need of support, and going through really deep, you know, challenges, and I would call you know, just dealing with that mentally. It is an issue, and North Carolina being a military state, we have to really put, you know, the adequate resources on health in general. But mental health is going to be something that, with this war, is going to haunt us for many years to come. So the crisis just began. That goes for child care. That goes for, and I believe that, and I just want to, once again, I know we passed a resolution in this support, but we'd like to make sure we emphasize this to our delegation, the land for tomorrow, you know, so we can, there is a lot of support. This legislation is getting a lot of support statewide, and there is a lot of folks behind this, including the new Speaker of the House, and I think we this is something that, as we discuss tonight with Bowman Creek, will benefit us a lot if we get this land for the, it's not just for Calvaro, but you know, for the entire state, to preserve whatever is left of the natural heritage.
And if I can just suggest that we include in our list all of the items in Triangle J's, the Triangle J Council of Governments legislative agenda, not individually, but maybe just a statement that we endorse that agenda. And also, I'm almost shocked to say that I couldn't find anything in the North Carolina League of Municipalities agenda that I disagreed with, particularly. So,
if anybody's got any heartburn about any of those, we can back off and ask our delegation to endorse their statement of principles.
Right.
They
have not included some of the more objectionable things that they've advocated for in the past. So anyway, so I want to suggest that we just put statements into our agenda, endorsing both of those agendas, and also to just say that some kind of general statement about the fact that you know, the state's various child care subsidy programs and early childhood education subsidy programs are great programs for children and for getting a good start on school, and they're also a great program for moms and dads who need to be able to get to work during the day, and that we support continued increases in funding for those programs. More at four and not Head Start, Smart Start.
Here, here.
Go for it.
And that we'd also support increased funding for low wealth schools.
Low what?
Low wealth schools.
Low wealth schools.
Low wealth schools.
all schools, but especially Lowell schools.
Hey, you think we got enough boys and girls?
I think we do.
With that, I'll move all that stuff.
Well, our manager wants to add something.
I just want to ask you off. You noticed the request for the charter amendment on special assessments. You may recall this issue came up when we did the assessment for the sidewalk or the street paving, and we had a couple of instances where folks needed a payment plan. Our town attorney's office helped us be creative, but if you'll recall, our only remedy for collection is foreclosure. And what we're asking for are some other options that are available when we would, just like the Orange County tax collector would have, that would broaden the town's authority as opposed to just foreclosure.
I'll include that.
Okay. So I take that as a motion for all of those multivarious things that have been mentioned.
Alex,
move all that stuff.
Move all that stuff.
There were a couple of items that were discussed tonight that we've already weighed in on, like Land for Tomorrow and so forth. So the motion is for all that stuff. All those. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, item passed unanimously. Before we go, real quickly, let's turn to the question of the memo on greenways, open space, and preserve.
And we also have the Utilities Commission resolution.
Oh, I beg your pardon, yeah.
Go on to greenways first because there's an attached resolution on that. Randy, if you want to move it, I'll second it.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Can we make sure? It's not on you have a new resolution in front of you. And this one does not include
resolution to creating greenway
commission. Right. It does not include open space and preserves. It's just very
specific for greenways.
Thank you. It's specific for greenways, yeah, and right. Just want to make sure people were clear on that.
There never was another one.
And then we'll have the work group will come back and make recommendations to everybody on how appointments should be made and what the mission of the commission should be. We just wanted to get your approval to have a commission first.
Go forth and have at it, y'all.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. A resolution requesting that the North Carolina Utilities Commission deny Duke Energy's request for a certificate of convenience and necessity to build two additional power plants at the Cliffside site. I'm certain that I'm in favor of this. Where is the Cliffside site?
I asked the same question, and I
mean,
don't
know. Scarcely matters.
No.
It may matter.
Matter, but... You know, in point of fact, it's the issue of creating the power plants without first looking towards renewable energy and energy efficiency, and it's in line with what we're looking at in terms of climate controls and the climate commission. So,
but I think it also is consistent with our position on the issue
on
of
the issue.
Expansion of the nuclear power
exactly
facilities
so.
In Chatham County. So,
exactly so.
Okay, given that the issue is essentially building some power plants versus exploring conservation and energy efficiency measures first, then that's I'm fine with that wherever Cliffside may be. So has it been moved?
I'll move.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Could that have any adverse impact on any on cardboard? That would be for the stuff. Is there anything in the works that we need?
How do you mean adverse?
Well, in terms of relationship with Duke Energy, I guess.
Well, they don't have a franchise with us anyway.
That's true.
And that goes back probably 12 years, where they decided because of what we were asking that they would rather not have a franchise with us. So really can't, you know, it's like saying, does that affect my marriage when you're not married? So it's not really.
They can't change our power bills, can they?
not based on this.
Well, they used to under a construct known as QIP, Construction Work in Progress. or they were able to bill you for anticipated capital expenditures.
Well, yes.
having said that, I won't vote against it, but there's just there's this sort of knee-jerk, spit on Duke Power sort of dynamic where, let's say, just for the sake of argument, that additional power generating capacity were needed to meet demand. If we also assume that, again, greater emphasis were placed on conservation measures and efficiency. So if for a variety of reasons we don't want them to use nuclear, we don't want them to use coal, we don't have geothermal capacity, we don't have waterways sufficient to do hydroelectric, what do we want them to do, burn hemp?
Can you do that?
Well, there are some people who think that would just be way cool.
But it's the electric car issue. If you don't, if we don't start putting our policies where our philosophies are, it's not going to happen. And we really have to hold the line that we expect industry to follow.
You would probably... I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I'm just going to be quiet.
I'd like to... I think Duke Power is... is on a local level a fantastic community citizen. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we have asked for Duke Power's cooperation, particularly Scott Gardner is great, mm-hmm. when we have asked for their cooperation with things like tree trimming, I think that they were very responsive to our community in many, many ways. This is an issue that I disagree with Duke Power on. So I respectfully will support this. But this is just one thing that I disagree with them on.
Well, does anybody know, can I ask this question, does anybody know when this issue will be before the Utilities Commission? James?
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So they will undoubtedly take into account our decision.
They're
tonight.
Waiting to hear from us, actually. They need to hear.
They did well. My only point is that we're taking a position based on a lot of assumption. We're assuming an awful lot here. And it's on an idea, on an ideological basis, rather than one that's been examined thoroughly.
But, we talk a lot about using energy efficiency in buildings and in planning. But if we're not going to hold the utility companies to the expectation that they're going to transition their businesses in this time of energy crisis, when will we hold them to it?
Okay, but just to ask you, again, this is a theoretical question because we don't know and we can't answer it here. Are we then assuming that if all of the measures were taken as you describe them, that would result in zero increase in demand? Would that of necessity require no need to bring additional generating capacity online? That's my point. That's all.
Well, can I? I'll be brief. Timing. I guess my question is, and this is a reasonable question, if we do it at the other end, if we reduce demand, then there's no need.
Right.
But if you're going to, I mean, I don't know if granting their request or denying their request is going to get us where we want to be.
Uh-huh.
Because, for example, if we, we've allowed the size of our houses to increase exponentially from where our grandparents lived, unless your grandparents were enormously privileged. You know, the size of houses have gone up, I don't know, 40% in size, from 1,500 to 2,400 to 3,000. So if we're really serious about reducing our demand for electricity, we could say to people, look, we're only going to allow you to have a house that's 1,600 square feet. Don't care where you are, where you live, what have you. I mean, so sort of strangely enough, leaning toward Alex's position.
Well, let me,
But, you know, I can be persuasive.
Not necessarily position. I'm just offering
positive. I'm just positive.
I'm not going to vote.
No,
I'm going to
argue
that all night.
Go ahead and vote.
Let me suggest that we're going to vote on this before 9 o'clock.
That's fine.
Well, somebody is, because if it's after 9, there are only going to be 6 people at this table.
Let me just say, and you know, the whereas clauses in this resolution do address this point.
Right.
I don't have firsthand knowledge of these studies, but they do address this point that the point is that conservation and energy efficiency would be a lower cost option
right.
for managing the demand problem that is out there than building this plant. And to that extent, you know, I think the point is not to deny Duke's request. The point is to say we ought to explore, and all of us as conservationists on this board understand this intellectually, that we ought to be pursuing the efficiency and the conservation ahead of additional
pollution. Why not just
pollution.
Say that, then?
I'd be willing to do that.
I can support that. I'm just saying, though, if we require
stop.
We play a part. In producing the demand.
You're absolutely
that's exactly right.
And so if we're going to do that, we need to be looking at ourselves about what we approve. That's all.
Well, and I think we seriously ought to ask ourselves mm-hmm. some questions about that, and also
that's
about
exactly
ourselves
right.
as a utility customer, our town government as a utility customer, not tonight. But sometime this year, let's take a serious look at what the carbon footprint of our town government is, and
what the carbon footprint of what we approve is.
Well,
there you go.
we could look at it in terms of our entire town, for that matter.
I think we should.
All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
Why not?
the matter passes with unanimous.
Before going to cranking this being heard.
It passes unanimous.
With apologies to Scott.
All right.
Following
I'm glad that we actually.
I have one more request. And,
no, it's after.
Before we go into closed session.
It's after 9. You can't have any more requests.
That we send a letter congratulating our new Speaker of the House.
Well, he's not there yet.
Well,
as soon as he is,
on behalf of the Board of Aldermen of Carborough.
By acclamation, without objection, we will do that.
Yeah.
Sent a letter of congratulations to President Obama.
Should we do a personnel matter before people go
split.
On stuff?
Oh, I see. Do we have a personnel matter?
Yeah.
Or we do.
We do. But it's not that long.
This is our shortest closed session of the year.
Okay.
Okay, I move we go into closed session. Oh, we have to do matters by.
No, we don't.
No.
I move we go into closed session.
Second.
For personnel matter.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
Our town manager looks perplexed. Well.